I don't know why I didn't try the Lord many years ago. It would have saved me so much misery. My foolish mind couldn't find what it was really looking for. Now it's a good life living for the Lord.
It's a Good Life, a program brought to you by Lewis Woodard Ministries of Fruitland Park, Florida. I'm your speaker, Lewis Woodard. Let me invite you to stay with me for these next few minutes for Bible study, fellowship, and prayer. Why? Because it's a good life. It is a good life living for the Lord, and it's the best life. And one of the things that gives a blessing to a Christian is the studying of God's Word. And that's the reason we're going through the book of Romans today. And we've been going through this for several weeks now. And I hope and pray that you're receiving a blessing out of this. And if you've never trusted Jesus, I pray that you'll do that even today. And if you have done that in the past, and you've trusted Jesus as your Savior during these studies, why not write to me and let me know about that? Lewis Woodard, 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. Lewis Woodard, 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. I want to rejoice with you. In Romans chapter 14, and we left off last time with verse 6, and we're going to pick up today with verse 7 and read through verse 9 here. It says, "For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living." Well, it's for sure that Christ died, he rose from the dead, and he is alive, so that no matter whether we live or die, Christ is our Lord. We're not alone. We, the saved, belong to the Lord, according to these verses. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, it says this: "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." As we continue on, we see in verses 10 through 13 that we're not to judge one another. Romans chapter 14 and verse 10 says, "But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." Paul's saying here, why do you assess the quality of a fellow Christian? In other words, why do we look at a person, a fellow Christian, and say, well, that work's not very good, or he's not doing a very good job? We're not to do that. And why do you consider a fellow Christian to be nothing, Paul is saying, not important, a zero, in other words? We're not to do that. You and I and all Christians will stand before Christ at his judgment seat. That's when we'll know what works were good and what works were not so good. And three times in this chapter, in Romans 14, verse 1, 4, and 10, we are commanded not to judge fellow believers on doubtful questions. It doesn't mean that we can't judge righteously according to the Scriptures. It's saying that we shouldn't, we studied about the immature Christian. They may do things that we don't agree with, but if it's not taking away from the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, if it's not denying Jesus Christ as Savior, then we're not to cause a problem, cause doubtful disputations, Paul says, but we are to pray for that person and help that person grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're all saved by and through the blood of the Lord. There's no deviation from that, but there may be other things that we find fault with that those things are not what we should be causing a problem about. We should not be bringing doubtful disputations about those things. The Bible goes on to say that it is written, notice in verse 11 through 13, "For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. It's not talking about causing him to lose his salvation. It's causes him to stumble, a weak brother to stumble. And what Paul's saying here, it's written from Isaiah 45:23, and it says this, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear, and that means to confess. That means that Jesus is God. And Isaiah 45:23 says, I have sworn by myself, the word is going out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall swear or confess that Jesus is Lord, of course, is what that verse is saying. And then we see that every Christian will personally give a detailed explanation to his or her life to God, according to Romans 14:12. And believers will be judged, not for salvation, but for rewards, according to 2 Corinthians 5:10. And Paul goes on in verse 13 by letting us know that as Christians, we're to cease from judging each other. And instead of judging each other, the Jew and Gentile believers, we should not do anything that will cause a fellow Christian to sin, to do wrong. We're to pray for each other and to help each other in the Christian life. Notice further admonitions here now. We're not to hinder a brother for whom Christ died. Romans chapter 14 and verse 14. Paul says, I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. But to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Paul's saying in essence here, I am convinced by the Lord that there is nothing that can make itself impure. However, he's saying to someone who views something as impure, to that person it is impure. Now, Dr. Henry Morris, in his King James Defender Study Bible, he says, to the believer saved by grace through faith in Christ, in his provision of full forgiveness and justification, all things are legal. Nevertheless, since he should now desire to live and die as unto the Lord, Romans 14:8, this should clearly affect all his behavior and make him very different from those yet unsaved. We're different as Christians, and we should live like it. Romans chapter 14, verses 15 through 18 now. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat, for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. I believe what Paul's saying here is if you continue to eat something that is offensive or causes sorrow to a brother, you are not living your life to help that brother. And don't cause someone for whom Christ died to be defeated by what you eat or what you do. Don't let your possession of firm principles be talked about as deliberately causing great harm, pain, or upset to another. And then the church is not distinguished by food or drink, but by integrity. This would be the virtue. It's the integrity of the Christians exhibiting great happiness, all brought about by the Holy Ghost. The church does not consist in or is not distinguished by what a person eats, drinks, or by observing specific days. People are not saved by eating or not eating certain things, by worshiping God on certain days. They're not saved that way. People are saved by the blood of Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, it says, For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed or saved with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. That's the way a person's saved. It's through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Serving Christ with what we do is acceptable. It's pleasing to God, and it is approved or it's favorable in the sight of other people when we do it as unto the Lord. Now notice in verses 19 through 23, we're to do things pleasing to God. It says there in verse 19, it says, Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Now that last verse is not talking about you're damned. In other words, you've lost your salvation. It's talking about you're going to have a problem in this life. And I believe what Paul is saying here, because of the preceding teachings in Romans chapter 14, verses 1 through 18, we're to do the things that produce peace and things which help others to learn. And just for the sake of a certain food, don't tear down the work of God. And Romans 14, 20 talks about that. All things are clean in the sight of God, but it is evil or sin for a person to eat something on purpose that will cause another person to have a hurt, to hurt another person. And it is good neither to eat flesh nor to drink wine or anything whereby thy brother stumbleth or is offended or is made weak. And I believe in that verse 21 is self-explanatory. Now we need to understand that a Christian needs to do all things having confidence or faith that Christ approves, according to verse 22. Faith, in this context, is defined as that firm belief and conviction that what I am doing is right. Well, there's many more verses that we can use with these verses that we've looked at, but let me say this. Although all things are indeed legal for a true Christian, he will try to do only those things which pleases his Lord. When he encounters questions not specifically mentioned in Scripture, this is talking about smoking, drinking, movies, he should consider the various scriptural principles that are given as guideposts to help him make such decisions. And one of those is given in this verse. Namely, he should be able to do it in full confidence that it is pleasing to Christ. If you are unconvinced that what you are doing is right, and you do it anyway, you become guilty in your own conscience. You become convicted. Why? Because you do not really believe or have faith that it is right. If you have doubts about a course of conduct, it's not safe to indulge in that course of action, and it should be at once abandoned. Because the Bible says, "For whatsoever is not of faith is sin." True faith is anchored upon scriptural facts, not upon our personal impression. In other words, the way we might feel about something. Have you asked Jesus into your heart? Ask Him to save you today, and God will save you. If you are a Christian, are you living for Him? Are you doing things? Are you praying for the brethren? Are you helping other Christians? Are you leading others to Christ? If not, bow your head and ask God to help you do that. Help Him. Ask Him to help you get closer to Him, to serve Him. I would ask you today to look at our website, lrwm.org. lrwm.org. You can find Bible study helps on there. You can find the scriptures there. You can find all kinds of helps, and especially it'll help you if you do not know Jesus as your Savior. It'll help you to know that you can be 100% sure you're on your way to heaven. Until the next time when you hear me say it is a good life, I'm praying for you. May the Lord bless you richly is my prayer.
For the Lord.